back, everybody, to the Classic Rock Podcast. And this month, we've changed things around a bit. So we're going to have a few more features in the show from now on, because reappearing, we're going to be taking a look at the news, and the press review is returning. Once a month, we'll round up some of the more interesting things that have appeared in the pages of the music press from around the world. Plus, we will have the golden anniversary feature back, where we will take a look at what happened in this particular month 50 years ago, looking at some of the classic releases and the stories of the time. And we will reintegrate the vintage press review as well. We'll go back through the boxes, which I have a great deal of music magazines from the last 40 odd years, and we're going to pick out a particular moment in time. What about this month? Well, John Rhino Everett from the Status Quo has dropped by for a chat about the Quo. We'll talk about the band's future and his brand new album. It is called Just Saying. Elsewhere, we will have Chad Kruger introducing some new Nickelback music. There will be more new stuff from Slash, Black Country Communion, Mott the Hoople, Bywater Call. A quick word on Bywater Call, because we're going to be having Megan Parnell on the show in the next few weeks. And if you don't know anything about Bywater Call, you've never heard of them, then do yourself a favor, because she has the most incredible voice, simply one of the best out there. And I urge you, go to YouTube, look them up. They've got a YouTube channel. You'll find the latest music there. And the two previous albums that they've released over the last 4 years are on all of the streaming providers. So it is well worth your time to look them up. So let's start with the news and the press review for this month. And taking us there, a fabulous track from Black Country Communion, Bonamassa Hughes, Bonham Chirinian. They're back. New Black Country Communion album is coming. This then is Stay Free, and I love the direction this is heading in. Lot of Led Zepp influence here, as you will hear. We'll be right back. have a look at some of the things that have been making the news over the last couple of weeks. And Slash, yeah, that's a good place to start. Seen him at the Oscars. And also, he is making a blues album with a cast list of everybody from Paul Rodgers to Brian Johnson and Steven Tyler. And it is called Orgy of the Damned. It is out on May the 17th. He said it's a project that I find spontaneous, very spontaneous, inspired, and in the moment. Billy Gibbons appears on Hoochie Coochie Man, Demi Lovato on Papa Was a Rolling Stone, Paul Rodgers on Born Under a Bad Sign. You can see the collaboration with Brian Johnson. That is on YouTube, actually, at the moment. Deep Purple releasing a 50th anniversary box set, super deluxe box set of Machine Head on March 29. More new mixes. Do we need any more new mixes of Machine Head? I've lost count of the number of copies of this I've got. Obviously the original. Then there was the 25th anniversary edition. Then I had the box set called Listen, Learn and Read On. Now, I don't know how many of you got that, or indeed if you can still get it, but that has quadraphonic mixes and everything else. And then I had this box set of Machine Head that I've got somewhere. I don't think I've ever played it more than a few times. And I think it's got about 7 or 8 CDs, DVD and Blu-ray in there of various mixes. So it'll be interesting to see what they've done with this. There are, as we said, new mixes. There are also unreleased live versions as well. It's a 3-CD LP and Blu-ray collection. It is out on March the 29th. Congratulations are due to Bruce Dickinson. The Mandrake Project, which has been publicised a lot in the last month. You'll have seen quotes, interviews, videos and everything to do with this, and signing sessions here, there and everywhere. But all that good work by Bruce, and of course a high quality product, as ever, has ensured he's made number 3 on the UK album charts and straight in at number 1 in Germany. So good for him, and he's out on tour as well very soon. Really sad news from the Magnum camp after losing Tony Clarkin, as we know recently, Bob Catley, in a very highly emotional message that he posted on the band's Facebook page, he's decided to close the book on Magnum, but let's hope that it isn't the last we hear from him. Lovely, lovely guy, and he was on great form as well on the recent album. Dead Daisies are back again. They are recording a brand new album. It all begins this week. Album number 7 it is. They've been, interestingly, in the studio in Nashville, and they've been working with Marty Friedrichsen. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. He, of course, of Aerosmith and Ozzy and Motley Crue fame. John Corabi now is back in the band and will be fronting the new album after 2 excellent recent albums, Holy Ground and Radiant. So something to look forward to later on this year. And Bon Jovi have a 4-part docu-series coming up. That's going to be on Hulu. It's called Thank You and Good Night, the Bon Jovi story. So what's it all going to be about then?
I got a story to tell.
I'm excited. Are we telling the truth or are we gonna lie? What are we gonna do?
There was no plan B in my life, ever. Bon Jovi was all or nothing.
5 guys from nowhere. And if you work hard enough and you dream big enough, you can make it.
There's some young kid around here from New Jersey who's making some noise.
They gave me the opportunity to record on weekends and nights.
We would go in at like 4 in the morning and start doing original songs.
Yellow!
And bad medicine is what I need.
This sonic boom happened.
The energy of the band, undeniable. Like a freight train coming at you.
We're a bunch of kids from New Jersey. What are you guys doing?
Some of the songs I wrote in my bedroom in New Jersey. I remember the day we wrote Living on a Prayer, not thinking much of the song.
I said, that's the best song we've written to date.
John's choruses demand to be sung by 20,000 people in an arena.
We were just crushing it.
Anything that every one of those bands talks about, we did.
It was real fun.
And I thought everybody else was enjoying it too.
Wrong.
I've gone out the next day and he's just coming in.
It destroyed our marriage. But I don't think I should have been married at that time anyway.
It almost killed us.
Every night was a war.
I don't regret leaving, but I regret how I did it.
Nobody expected Richie to quit in the middle of the night.
It was heartbreaking.
It was taking a toll.
I went out of here.
And what I meant was out of Bon Jovi.
One thing you can't be in this world is a quitter. So there's no way we're gonna slow down.
This is the real me, the gray hair, the whole 10 yards.
John's going through his challenges.
I'm optimistic, but I'm scared.
I don't know if there's gonna be a happy ending.
With every decade comes another life's lesson.
It's all or nothing.
That's why the legacy matters.
Regrets? That key change is one of them.
You can't be 60 years old and expect to hit that note anymore.
Looks great, doesn't it? One to watch on Hulu, so make a note. And that is called Thank You and Goodnight, the Bon Jovi story. Let's take a look at what's on the music stands in the press this month. And as you'd expect, plenty of Judas Priest on the covers. Rob Halford, kitten in hand, with the cover headline, Judas Priest. Get it? Yeah, that's Metal Hammer's offering. The album Invincible Shield certainly lives up to the hype. I don't know whether you've heard it yet, but if you haven't, you must. It's brilliant. And as for the review, once again, they have beaten the odds. There can be no denying that Judas Priest have produced an album worthy of their own legendary status and still showing the rest of the world how it's done. And that was followed by a 9 out of 10. Meanwhile, Classic Rock magazine gave it an 8 out of 10 and they offered up the following: Priest maintain the magical allure of mixing blistering rock with strangely hummable tunes. And that is absolutely right. The title track, Invisible Shield, is the equivalent of being thrown off of a bucking bronco into a wall. Their front cover, incidentally, is Queen, as they look back at the making of the works 40 years on, the album that returned them to rock. And the Classic Rock interview in there this month is with Chris and Rich Robinson of the Black Crowes, not the only magazine to have them in some of the guitar magazines. They're both in there, Uncut magazine, they're in there. The 40th anniversary, anyway, this year of when they actually started to produce music together. They began as, how many of you knew this, the Goo Goo Mucks, and then Mr. Crow's Garden. And then they dropped onto Deaf American with Rick Rubin and turned up as the Black Crowes. Then along came Shake Your Moneymaker, and then the number one Southern Harmony musical companion. The rest, of course, is history. They are back with a new album. Can't wait for that. General consensus is the same across the board. Great album, 9 out of 10. What to expect? Well, there is no reinvention of the wheel. Hooray for that. More soulful tunes than a gospel convention, warmer than a mother's love, and groovier than the Grand Canyon. Classic Rock have got quite a few reviews of people that we've had on the show lately and all getting great reviews. Philip says The Wolves Are Coming got a 9 out of 10. Dion's Girlfriends, 8 out of 10. You can see and hear extensive interviews with Philip says and Dion as well on the website and on the YouTube channel. They were reveling in the performance of Susan Tedeschi, shredding like never before. Joanne Shaw Taylor's also on Dion's album as well. Spewing molten licks. And Jane Getter, who we have a new video interview coming on the website this week. Division World, the album described as technically dazzling. And after all of that, over on Total Guitar, they offer up the greatest blues guitarists of all time. It's a list of 100, and you can argue and discuss until the cows come home about this. Keith Richards at 44, Samantha Fish at 38, Walter Trout at number 24, Jimmy Page ranked number 15, Jeff Beck, number 11, Gary Moore, number 6, Jimi Hendrix 5, Clapton 4, Bonamassa 3, SRV 2, and BB is number 1. There you go. Tangerine Dream, the front page of Prog this month. Uncut have Pink Floyd front page with an interview with Nick Mason, who is prepping Saucerful of Secrets for the road again. And some great quotes, as ever, from Nick Mason. In Pink Floyd, he said, "We didn't have a clue what we were doing half the time. We had great ideas." Live, though, Mason went on to say, "The best Floyd gigs were literally voyages of discovery accompanied by a sense of adventure and mystery." There you go, then. That rounds up some of the more interesting stories you might have missed and what is making the music press this month. More of that to come next month. Now, we mentioned there this new blues album by Slash, Orgy of the Damned, which is coming soon. And whilst it might surprise some that this is on the horizon, the man himself has been quick to point out in the last few days the influence that blues has had on his career and his life.
I'm a rock guitar player that's firmly rooted in blues. Blues guitar is really something that I got turned on to when I was a kid. If you were to listen to anything that I do, you can see how big the blues influence is. And I'd always thought that I'd want to record a record at some point, and we got together and did it.
From the sixth solo album from / Orgy of the Damned. It is set for release on the 17th of May. You can pre-order it online on his website. And that track, incidentally, Killing Floor, included just in case you couldn't work it out who was involved there, Brian Johnson, and how good did he sound singing that? And also, Steven Tyler was on the harmonica. Great stuff. Right, time for some conversation, I think, now, don't you? Status Quo's John Rhino Edwards stopped by last week to talk about the new album Just Saying and what is on the Quo horizon. And we get lost in a world of caravans, Brentford FC and a dislike of the Premier League, and where you can get the best pint in Teddington still. Oh, and of course, the answer to that question, is there a Quo-less world on the horizon? Let's hope not, eh? So did you think that when you were watching old Andy Fraser and Free back in 69 at the Richmond Athletic Ground, that you were on the cusp of beginning this five and a half, 6 decade career in music? Was that the dream?
I always knew I'd do it, to be honest. I always knew I'd be successful. It was the only thing in my... Although that said, I've always thought I was going to win the lottery as well, and I haven't. But I always had a lot of confidence in my own abilities. I don't know why, really, you know, whether it was misplaced or what, but I just always thought, no, put it like this. If I hadn't done what I've done, I'd be dead by now, I'm sure. I probably would have been a drug dealer or a criminal, so, you know.
Or a violinist, because you were a bit of a talent there.
By that time, I hated the violin. As soon as I heard the Beatles, all I wanted to do was be, I wanted to be the fifth Beatle. I used to write to them, you know, and have, I used to fill exercise books full of stuff about writing about them, how much I loved them.
Did you ever get a reply? Because it was funny when you talk.
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
Because you did say, when we're talking about the new album now, that that Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder didn't get back to you on this. So you had to get...
I know, you know, some people, manners didn't come into it.
So the new album then...
Yes, mate.
...is coming, just saying. And again, it's just got a great feel and a vibe to it, like you... decided, look, you know, I'm going to get a gang of friends together and we're just going to have fun. It's like, get the beer out, we're going to have a party.
Yeah. Apart from Paul and Stevie, who I'm not sending Christmas cards to this year, everyone else was very keen, you know. I mean, unbelievably so. You know, even the ones I didn't pay. You know, they were keen as well. So that's it was very gratifying.
You got Francis involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Francis from and Andrew from Status Quo, and various friends from who've played with Ryan's Revenge. My friend Chris from Muse. Really, everyone I asked said yeah, they'd love to, which was nice. My cousin Clive, who's not played with Ryan's Revenge, I think. But my family, you know, which was great. My daughter, my son Freddie. Then the great thing about them, as I said before, is that they're very cheap.
Yeah, the children. It's notorious, isn't it? But getting family involved usually leads to issues. But yours seem to have a great deal of respect for you and what you're doing. I'm talking about Max, Freddie, and May, all involved.
I would say that my worst ever musical interlude was with my daughter May. On my last, we were recording a song called Tomorrow Is Today, and she had to do an octave vocal, and it took 2 days, and we had probably the biggest arguments I've ever had with anybody over the course of those 2 days. So, yes and no. But this time around, it was great. I mean, I was working with a producer that we've all got a lot of respect for, a lot of time for, and you know, and May also didn't dare. I don't know if she dared to have an argument with me when Mike was involved. But she sat, you know, she sang her heart out. And Freddie and I have always got on like a house on fire, musically speaking. You know, he is my favourite guitar player. And May, I don't mean she's taken my advice, but she's decided that drumming is the way she wants to go forward, which I always thought it should be for her. In fact, she's got her first gig with her new band Kin tomorrow in London somewhere, K-I-N. And they're quite indie, you know, as May is. Hind Legs and Donkey spring to mind when I'm talking, by the way, so shut me up. You know.
Chris Wolstenholm.
Yeah.
From Muse, you two met up originally at the O2 at a gig there. You hit it off over a love of football. He's a big Rotherham fan. You obviously, right. Brentford, and you both hated the whole Premier League Super Elite thing.
Which I still do.
And I was going to say, well, how does that compute now with Brentford in it?
I used to say that I wasn't going to go if we got in the Premier League, and I bought a season ticket, and I continue to buy a season ticket, and I go, but I don't like it. I debated whether to renew my season ticket. I mean, you know, it's apparently what everyone wants. And then I read yesterday that the owner's trying to get some more investment.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for me. I don't want to be a fan of a franchise. Brentford wasn't a franchise before. Don't get me wrong, please, but the guy, Matthew Benham, has been amazing for the club. I have such total respect for what he's done. But I liked a club that was part of the community, you know, that isn't...
Yeah, absolutely, you know, I get
might
it.
As well be, might as well be Burger King. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It was always a product, but it was always a product that was part of the local community. And it was almost a badge of honour to support Brentford because they were so crap. You know what I mean? people say going through thick and thin. I just went through thin for 50 years. But yeah, and Chris, Chris was a massive Quo fan, and I'd actually met him once before then. He actually played guitar at a sound check for us one time.
Brilliant.
That's a long story, but I know that he told me that afterwards he ran a mile and a half to phone his mum to tell her what he'd just done, which I found quite touching. Such a sweet guy. He's sweet, that sounds condescending. He's such a great guy. He's really... he's a proper person, is Chris. You meet a lot of people that aren't proper in this business, and he's not one of them.
The album as well, being put together in, what is this, double quick time for you, isn't it? I mean, 6 years to write in total, as opposed to 13 for the previous.
Yeah, no, I know. It was, I just figured I'd probably be dead if I didn't do another one. I'd probably die, you know. I wanted to do a last one, if you like, and I had a lot of songs that I was... I wrote a lot of songs, and I just thought that they might as well see the light of day, really. I mean, I know I'm not going to set the world on fire with them, which is a shame. And when you write music, it's a great way of getting stuff off your chest, because you can couch things in terms that people won't realise what you're talking about, or you can be really upfront and say what you're talking about. I mean, that's why I've called it Just Saying. It's mainly just things I think about stuff. Yeah. You know, and probably a lot of people do that, but I feel at the moment that I'm being, me and people of my generation are being a bit put upon by people who think that the world should be their way. And I don't like that. I think, you know, in democracy, we should all be able to say what we like. And we should also be able to say what we don't like. And that is really difficult these days. That's why I wrote a song called PC World, by the way. The PC World. Not the computer shop.
And I did check.
Pardon?
I did have a listen. So I'm getting on to the tracks on the album. How difficult was it when you were putting this together, having been in Quo since 86, to put something out which doesn't sound like Quo?
Well, you know, Quo is, as Rick Pop used to say, Quo is always the mothership, and you know, and it is, and I couldn't be and ever joined a better band than for my personal. The way I wanted my life to go, I couldn't. It's fulfilled my wildest dreams by a long way, not in the success side of things. It's just where it's taken me, the people I've met along the way. It's been unbelievable. You know, there are downsides, but not many. And what's not to like about what I do? But as getting back to what you said, no, this is me, you know, this is what I write. I would love it. I would love it if Status Quo recorded all my songs. I'd be happy as Larry. You know, but there are, I mean, I did think one, the one that Francis played on, which is called You're Never Too Old to Rock and Roll. I did think that was a nailed on quote.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I could really see that would go well at shows, which it does when I've played it. You know, I mean, it's you know, it's as I said to someone else, it's so cheesy you need crackers to go with it, but it's such an obvious thing. And and someone said, "What, you know, what's the meaning behind this song?" And I said, "There's no meaning. It's a fact." But you know, the powers that be just didn't think it was right, even though Francis has played his butt off on it. The things he did, I'm so pleased with. You know, he really did put in a shift, as I've said, as did everybody. But yeah, it just got the blank, and the person who's going to sing a song doesn't feel it. There's no point in recording it. You know, the vocal carries the song. For me, the vocal stands or falls on the vocal.
So the first track
from my album,
the first track, Count Me Out.
Oh yeah.
When I put it on, I thought, oh, the Who, can't explain.
Well, there is that. Yeah, I wrote that with Francis. I mean, you know, I think I can safely say that we're. I nearly put Sorry, Pete, on the, in brackets on the title. It's a big difference to me, to Mr. Townsend, but it come across from something I wrote from Francis. I was writing with Francis. He sends me bits when we write songs together, which take me into different places. And what he sent me wasn't dissimilar to that, but it was not. I just thought, well, that sounds like The Who to me, you know. And I thought, well, bugger it, you know, let's make it sound like The Who. You know, I mean, I keep using this phrase, but what's not to like about sounding like The Who? He is one of the best rhythm guitar players there's ever been, in my opinion.
Oh.
In my not so humble opinion, by the way. Well, just to finish that, he was an angry. You know, they were angry. They were angry young men. I always thought The Who. Well, I'm an angry old man on that song as well, lyrically speaking. You know, it's about my voice still counts. Taking care of Mary. Yeah, love it.
The quote song. Because you go through it and you think, would that? No, definitely not. Definitely not. The first one, I thought, oh, Quo song, Taking Care of Mary, and that Never Too Old to Rock and Roll.
Bizarrely, it's a kind of sad lyric on Taking Care of Mary. It's about, I wrote it in my caravan, and more of that later, obviously. But I've used to go, if I could get a day or two away on my own, I'd go and generally come up with the song. And I just wrote that song, and it was about my father-in-law when he was dying, and he was in the hospital, and he had a bit of dementia, and he kept trying to get out of his bed and go back. So I got worried about May, which is what he used to call Mary. And as he died, my brother-in-law said to him, "It's all right, Dad. We're taking care of Mum. You can let go now." And it really stuck with me that what he'd said, because it was such a brilliant thing to say. And so that's, you know, her name was Mary, and he knew that we were taking care of her. And he popped his clogs not long after that. So it's quite sad for me. And I played it to the family, and there's been a bit, you know, some of them got quite emotional about it, which was nice in a way, you know, that because music can be very emotive and emotional. But apart from that, it's banging.
I was going to say, it's... The type of song is how it's written and how it's written and how it's played out are two completely different things than here.
Yeah, but it's very up, but that should be, you know. I mean, it's not an unhappy song. It's like saying, don't worry about it, you know. We're taking care of Mary, and she lived on for another 3 years, and we did, and we took care of her.
Whizzy Lizzy. Now, this has got a bit of a more of a 60s rock and roll vibe to it here.
I wrote it the day Little Richard died. These are the clues.
Right. I'm glad I'm getting on the right level then.
Oh, no, you are, absolutely. And it's about, I write kind of whatever. It's actually, we had a PA in the band called Lizzie. Liz Adshead, and she actually works for Robbie Williams. They call her, in fact, there's a line there, they call her the production mistress. And her email is WizzyLizzyJA, I think. And I thought, oh, that just sounds great. And it just sort of came up. I mean, my songs actually do take a lot of work for me. I'm not a natural songwriter. I can't write a lyric on the back of a fag packet, you know. Well, no, I mean, some songs you can hear that they sound like they were written on the back of a fag packet, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, Liam Gallagher springs to mind. Maybe he spends a lot of time on his lyrics, but I don't think so. I think he spends about half a minute on each song.
Yeah, by the way, you did come out with a great quote on you and your propensity to sit and write songs and stay the distance. I'd rather go out and rummage through 99p shops than sit in a room and finish a song.
I'd rather what?
Oh, I'd rather reason? Go out
yeah.
and rummage through 99p shops than sit in a room and finish a song.
Who said that, him or me?
You.
Oh, did you. I? There you go. You know what? I love the quote that Noel Gallagher said about his brother. It's great. He is... a man with a fork in a world of soup. It made me laugh so much. It may be someone else's quote, but it's very, very, very pithy.
Right. Caravan anyway,
enough about Liam Gallagher. You know, I mean, well, he obviously needs the publicity of being mentioned by me anyway. I had a piss next to him once, actually. We met him in Oasis. They were really nice guys, really friendly.
So
when they weren't fighting, you know.
Back to the album, Caravan Man. So yeah. you obviously have a bit of a love of caravans here. And there was a bit of, somebody might get this right, there was a bit of a Burt Bacharach feel here. There was a bit of a, you know, that 70s, you know, south of France.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a bit of Canned Heat going up the country. A bit of Steely Dan, because I'm quite a fan of theirs. But a bit simpler. But again, I wrote that in my caravan about my caravan. I've got a static caravan in Wittering in Sussex. It's the third one I've had. And I love being there. It's the best money I ever spent in my life, and I'm thrilled that I've been able to articulate it. My kids had idyllic childhoods in the summer. Where are you going? Down the beach? Where are you going? I'm going to someone else's van. Boy, I'd be back for lunch, you know, whatever. And down the amusement arcade a bit later on. And my first caravan cost me £8,000, the best money I ever spent. And when it got thrown off because our feet started going through the floor because it was so rotten, I bought a new one, which is really comfortable. And I've still got it, but I've actually bought a house around the corner now as well. So I'm ultimately sad. But that's me and my daughter doing the backing vocals on that, and she did an amazing job.
Yeah, that reminds me of, do you ever remember watching The Inbetweeners?
Mm-hmm.
When Jay was trying to get everybody down to the caravan club. You won't believe how good it is to go caravanning. It's where it all goes off.
Well, it doesn't in my caravan, but mine's a static, you know. It's not a, but yeah, caravan is great fun. And I don't mind if it's raining or whatever, you know. And the great thing about a caravan is everything you need. Where is it? Oh, it's over there. You know, I mean, I'm at the top floor of my house now, and it's 41 steps from the top to the bottom. You know, if you include the steps outside, and you know, that's why I'm moving to a bungalow. I'm going to move to Wittering in a couple of years' time to a bungalow. But I love the van. I absolutely do. I shall shed a tear when it goes.
My side of the road is back to the blues.
Yeah, and that's got Chris Wolstenholme playing bass on it. He was, you know, we've spoken, and I know he really does like Quo. I mean, as I learnt Muse, I mean, when I first met him, I said, oh, can I get a selfie? He said, well, only if I can do one with you. So that was nice. So, we've, you know, there's a mutual respect there with me and him. But he was always saying, oh, yeah, I love the shuffle, you know. I can, you know, I'll be really good at that. I thought, all right, then have a go at this. And, you know, and it's in E, so it's not, you know, it's not rocket science, but it's the shuffle is it's not easy. People think, you know, people say it's quote three chords, 12 bar, da-da-da-da-da. There's only one way to play a shuffle, and that's the right way. And Chris, of course I should have known, but he was moving house, and he got his studio set up, and he said, I'll get it done. And all of a sudden he did it, and it's brilliant. And it's exactly right for the song, which I love. I've this is one of the few occasions I wrote the lyric before I wrote the song. And I don't know, something will come out, a riff or a lyric, you know, after hours and hours or days even of making my brain bleed, as Rick Parfitt used to put it. And but that one I already had the lyric, and then when I came up with down, 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 which does sound like every other song I know. I don't care. I thought, well, that lyric would probably fit really well with that song, and it did. I'm very, very happy with that. Well, I'm happy with it all, to be honest, Tim. I really
The PC world was has got a bit of a punk and new wave feel, and is that you getting the message of that song across?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to sound quite dark because I'm getting a bit of a curmudgeon as I get older. Well, I'm not actually. I've just got my opinion, and I don't like being told to shut up by people. You know, if I told someone to shut up and they said no, I said, all right, well, don't shut up then. you can't. You know, it's just I just hate this mob mentality. I mean, I'm not in favour of every, you know, of particularly right-wing sentiment, but I'm neither am I in favour of left wing sentiment. I just want things to work. I don't think that people telling people to shut up all the time is the way forward. So it's me telling them to shut up. But I just don't, the baying, that there's a line in that song I like. The noise you hear the loudest is the baying of the mob in the PC world. And it's true, you know, squeaky wheels make the most noise.
One way to rock and roll, back down to that bluesy feel, and again, like the lyrics, growing old disgracefully, okay. So I must repeat.
Yeah, well, I was gonna call it that, but I don't want to repeat old too much because I am. But I don't want to, I tried to think of myself as being maturely immature. So it's it's good. Yeah, they're, it's good fun. I want this record has a lot of different moods to it, if you like. Maybe too many. Maybe I'm trying to be all things to all men, but
No, it gives it a lot of variation because, you know, you can then go to Hard Drinking Woman and then, you know, tried and tested. You know, the longer we go, the better it gets.
Yeah.
You know, it's what we know, taking it slow.
Yeah, you've either listened to it or you're reading the lyrics.
Yeah, I listened to it all. The last track on that Make a Mention of is Spooning, because there's a bit of jazz going on here. So is this about what you get up to on an afternoon when the kids are out?
Yeah, it's all right, you know, spooning, you know, nothing flash, you know, nothing highfalutin. Yeah, you know, I've been with my wife since either 1978 or 1979. We're not quite sure of the year. They were the wilderness years, shall we say. But we're, you know, we're still there. Tried and tested is about me and her. And so, there's a one called Happy Ending, which is about her.
That's the last one track on the album, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not what people think. I don't like the way words have been hijacked, you know. And so, I mean, it's actually about a story that wants a happy ending. It's not about a Thai brothel.
Oh dear, Mike Paxman. Produced it, and you said you probably wouldn't have done it had he not said yes.
Because he, I think I wrote on something like on my liner notes, something like I gave him a lot of songs. I gave him a lot of songs in black and white, you know, and he just, it's like, he's such an artist, Mike. He's an artist, I'm a piss artist, but he just basically brought out all the colour in the songs and gave them colour and shine and vibe that they didn't have because they were demos. And you do get some artists who, I've got to get the vibe of the demo, And we did in some respects in that some of the core guitar parts were lifted from the demos I did just to keep the vibe going. But then, yeah, you know, he just brings so much colour to it. I mean... Yeah, I can't think of many of the people I'd like to work with, you know. And he also put in the shift that he did.
You met him at the party when you were both pissed, wasn't it? He was putting the band together at the time for Judy Zook and gave you the great line, didn't he? If you remember my number, call me and you've got a gig. You still remember it?
Yeah, 94516. Yeah, it's 9405196. My mate Ronnie Johnson was 9405169. Yeah, 5196. Yeah, I'm good with phone numbers, luckily for me.
So?
It's really weird, you know, Tim. When I get drunk, I've got this really weird thing. I remember. I mean, I can be paralytic, but it's probably only twice in my life when I've not remembered what's gone on, which sometimes is grossly embarrassing. You know, it's a weird thing.
So all of this, then, it's easily the best of the trio of album. By a country mile, it is, and it'll be perfectly suited to live environments. And you just think of small sweaty clubs and places like that, intimate venues. So is there going to be, I mean, I know you've got a very busy year, but is there any chance that you'll get out and do a bit of touring?
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm going to do a bit. I've decided, for funnily enough, that I completely agree with you about the small sweaty clubbing, but there are clubs. I did 18 shows last year when the album was supposed to be ready, but for various reasons it wasn't. So we actually ended up just putting out an EP of four of the songs. We did 18 shows, and at the end of it, I thought, yeah, I've really enjoyed some of this, and some of this I haven't enjoyed because I'm not. And I've decided that I'm only going to play venues that I really like, where there's a good vibe, where the people are coming there to listen to music. And so basically, all I'm going to do, I'm doing the Half Moon in Putney in October, at the end of October. I'll give that another shameless plug another time. But and I'm doing three shows in a place called Barnaldswick, which is near Burnley, where it's 60 people. It's downstairs. It's just downstairs in a small place. If you play a quiet song, you can hear a pin drop. If you say something funny, they might laugh. They might not. They're very normal, you know. They can be quite dour, but they're not judgmental. But it's just great. You go there, and everyone is listening to what you're doing. And if you've got something to say, you want people to listen. I went to see a band called the Sleaford Mods the other week. and at the Alexander Palace. I'm a big fan. I really do like them. And I couldn't believe it. The amount of people, they're just talking away. They're on their phone. I just thought, why are you here? You know, if I go to a gig, I want to, and I've parted with my hard-earned cash. If I'm going to see Status Quo, I want to have a really good time and I want to sing along and I want to have a real, real good laugh. These people are just filming it or talking on their phones. So if I'm going to do my little thing and I'm going to put myself out, the people that I want to play to are the people that are listening, which is why I'm doing the Half Moon, great venue in London, and I'm doing those up there. And that'll be it for this year. Maybe I'm going to make some plans for next year. But at rhinosrevenge.com, you can find everything you need to know about that, except for this week's lottery numbers. You can find everything you need to know about me. You can buy anything you want of mine as well. You know, the album's out on vinyl and CD. And we've not put a lot of it on Spotify yet because, apart from anything else, the royalty is derisory. I think it's such an insult to artists. It will come out on there at some time, but before then I want, you know, if you like what you hear, then, you know, go and buy, do what people used to do back in the day. Yeah. You know, what's wrong with that? You know, I mean, I think if you invest your money in something as well, you're more likely to dig and delve into
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, I buy a lot of vinyl now.
Well, so do a lot of other people. The vinyl sales are their biggest for, 30-odd years?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I tend to buy a CD and then I'll buy the vinyl. I bought the new Peter Gabriel album. I'm very keen on that. And I will buy the vinyl on that. Yeah, he's an artist I'm not hugely a fan of, but I am, you know, this album, I think it's a work of art, his album. Like, for instance, I don't know, Origin of Symmetry, not Origin of Symmetry, Absolution, say, by Muse. You know, there are very few albums I consider to be works of art, but that's what, you know, there are a few every few years where from start to finish, it's really flying along and everyone a winner, as they used to say. I just like to mention
Limbo, the song Limbo. Yes. Track
that's,
two.
Yes, that's there's an example of things that stick in my mind. It starts off with a line. I'm going to just talk about this for a minute because I like the I did. And also, my Freddie is playing the guitar on it, and it's awesome. It's unbelievable, the guitar playing. Whatever you think, and that's on Spotify. Even if you don't like anything else, check out the guitar playing. It's incredible. But I don't know why. It's in my head. You know, I said I know where I don't stand with you. You know, as opposed to I know where I stand with you. But then when I was in Dexter's Midnight Runners years ago, I went out for dinner with the manager and he was telling me about this girl he was really keen on, but she was a lot younger than him. I met a beautiful girl, but he said, it's like she takes my brains out, puts them in a frying pan, fries them up a bit and gives them back, you know. And he probably said that to me in 1988. And it just stuck with me, you know. So I came up, I know where I don't stand with you. It's as if you steal my brain, fry it up a little, put it back again. You know, it's just little, you know, it's not about anything in particular apart from being in limbo. And I'm quite kind of like a sponge if I like a lyric. So anyway, I really like the lyric on that song. There's a lovely lyric video for that on YouTube. I've got some lyric videos on YouTube as well. I've got You're Never Too Old to Rock and Roll. Another song which you didn't mention, which I love, which is called Good Evening Primrose.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, is, yeah.
That's, funnily enough, that's my really poor Paul McCartney imitation bass line on that. But I'm very pleased with the bass line on that. That was two takes. And that's all about a flower called Evening Primrose. So, and it opens in a minute and it comes out every night. It's just one of the many billions of miracles of nature. But I saw that, I was in the garden, with a bit of wacky backy and, it blew my mind. And, I wrote that song when I had COVID, funnily enough. So the COVID the second time around wasn't that bad, but, I really like that song. I like it all. And thank you very much for the songs you've brought up. Anyway,
the danger, the mothership.
Yes.
So let's put something to bed here. There's a lot of chatter, right, on on social media, on the, you know, the numerous Quo fan pages on Facebook and Instagram, of which there are hundreds of thousands of members. And they're all talking about, well, I mean, you know, this is the year you got to get to see him because it's going to be the last. It's going to be, you know, the goodbye is coming and whatever. But we aren't ready yet, are we, for a Quo-less world? There's no sign of imminent Quo-less world. There's no imminent plan of retirement.
A lot of it depends on what Francis wants to do, obviously. And I don't know. I know. And this is really truthfully, unfortunately, I couldn't get to see his show this time. And I wasn't really that bothered about seeing the other two because I didn't think it would tell me anything that I didn't already know. And I'm really peeved that I didn't go to see this one. It just didn't pan out that when Francis was in 50 miles of me, that I couldn't get to go once. I know he's really, really enjoyed that. I believe, you know, I mean, I saw him the other week. We did an advert for Marks and Spencer's. And I hadn't seen him for nearly 2 years, although we'd spoken. And it was just, it was, you know, when we got back together again, the vibe was just there straight away. You know, it was really good fun again. And everyone was very happy to see everybody. So I'm not beating about the bush, but I think there'll be a decision made at the end of the year. You know, probably by Francis. I mean, but Andrew will be nearly 80 by then. So the answer is I'm not giving you any answer. I think that's, but no, because we don't know either. You know, it might well be that we finish these shows that, yeah, that's enough. We're done with this, you know, but then when my Freddie started playing with us for a while, when Rick got sick, that was going to be it. You know, the last night of the electrics and a combination of Freddie doing it. Freddie, I know when Freddie left, I couldn't believe. What do you mean you're leaving? How dare you? You know, I think he's definitely the only person who's ever left this band. and then, you know, and then when Richie came along, you know, it was all. Oh, this is good. We're enjoying this.
But the thing is, people only usually talk about retirement and stopping if they can't do it anymore. The product that they're putting out isn't any good. And that's not the case in either of those situations because, I mean, you know, if you go to see the band, I saw them, I don't know, 18 months ago or whatever, still seem top of the game to me.
We're still singing songs in the original keys, pretty much all of them. Like the only one, I sing Rain in a, I, well, I cheerfully murder Rain. In a lower key to Rick, only because I couldn't murder it in the right key. I had to murder it in the wrong key. I love singing that song, by the way. So up yours if you think I murder it, not you. we sort of the songs in the original keys, which a lot of bands don't. I mean, I checked out a few people, like, you know, Guns N' Roses. They're all down a semitone or a tone, in fact. Now, so many bands what do they call them? Heritage acts tuning down because the singer can't cut it. I mean, Francis is in incredible shape. He really, not even for his age, he's just in really good, you know, he really takes care of himself.
I love those little videos, those little cameo videos he was putting out at all the stops on his talking tour, usually in restaurants, eating food.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's great. It's real.
Right, what about then, next thing, an album? So will there be another album? I mean, if you look back to Backbone.
No.
No, definitely not.
I don't think so. I think that it's a question of whether we can be asked or not, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, there's always, you know, I don't know about the writing material side of things, but it's diminishing returns these days.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one must remember that people would put out an album and then go on tour to promote the album. And now people put out albums to promote a tour. You know, it's a lot of work. That put it like this, for me, I'd rather do another tour than another album. You know, it's so much work and He said, yeah, it's not work. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed making Backbone. It was a real pleasure for me. But Francis had, you know, I sort of chipped in. But Francis had to do a heck of a lot of work on that. And I just, you know, well, we all put in the work. But it's whether, yeah, I'd rather do gigs than do another album for me.
It's a shame because the album was great. It was the highest charting album since you've joined. In the Army Now, I think got to number 7, but this one got to number 6. And there were some, yeah, there were some great tracks on that album.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you actually did something which was very unusual at that time. You actually played the tracks live before the album was released.
We've only ever done that once before. We did that on Heavy Traffic. We played two songs, one called All Stand Up and one called Solid Gold. That was very interesting, actually, because we'd recorded them. And then we went out and played them live. And then we re-recorded them for the album, and they were so much better, which is obviously the case. But Quo's not never been that kind of a band, really. You know, some bands go out and they, like Comics, if you like, they blood their, you know, they blood the new material before they commit it.
Yeah, yeah. I'd just go on that retirement thing. One of your great quotes was, yes, we have set a date for splitting the band up. It's April the 3rd, 2034.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I love what B.B. King said. They said, so B.B., when are you going to retire? I said, but 8 years after I'm dead. Yeah.
But it can't. Seriously, though, there will be a lot of really emotional people around if you turn around and say, right, that is it, we've decided we're not going to do it anymore. Well,
never say never.
That's an album.
I know, but it may well be that we, you know, I'm optimistic, you know, that we'll do more. I don't know when or where, but there's not a lot riding on this either. It's just,
do you find it tiring these days, the travelling and the hotel? I mean, you've got a big European jaunt in June, July, August.
No, I'm used to it. You know, we all have a modus operandi for the day, every day, every show day. And my day involves getting a lot of sleep, doing a lot of walking, filling my head with something and getting prepare myself for the gig, having a fantastic time on the gig, which I do every time, or, you know, 9 times out of 10. And then getting on the bus and going off to the next one, doing the same the next day. What's not to like?
Are you taking cameras and whatever around with you and filming more of this stuff now, going in between gigs, backstage at gigs, preparing for gigs, yeah, the whole thing? Because, yeah, I mean, there's an industry in this as well. I mean, when you look back to the film that Alan Parker put together, you know, there's been plenty of time in between where you could have been filming all sorts of stuff.
No, it was not the sort of thing we want to do. It's not us, really. I think what I am going to do is on my on the next tour we do, I'm going to do quite a lot more stuff on my I've got a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to start putting up a lot more little snippets and stuff. Of me, you know, of me and whoever wants to be involved, others don't. That's fine. It's, you know, because as I said, I'm going to put it on my YouTube channel. So it'll be my, because I used to, yeah, back in the day, when the internet was more, wasn't even as instant as it is now, I used to do a tour log. I used to write a sort of on the road diary, which got kind of, when Facebook and everything got really big, it kind of got usurped and I didn't do it. But I'm going to start doing a bit of filming, you know, just with my phone and just put it up. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because people devour all of this. Yeah, you might not think
it is interesting. Oh, no, it is interesting. I saw, and one of the reasons I'm doing it is that I saw a guy called Tony Levin who's playing bass on, he plays bass with Peter Gabriel and King Crimson and a lot of other, but I mean, he's incredible. I mean, he's one of my idols as a player. But he just, you know, every so often he does 30-second clip, minute clip. You know, he did a clip of Peter Gabriel playing one of the songs for the first time. Then he does just bits and bobs that he thinks people might find interesting. And that's very much what I intend to do.
You've never fancied doing what Toya and...
Robert?
Yeah, the Sunday lunch.
I haven't got big tits.
Oh, I thought it was all about the music.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Nobody looks at Toya's boobies. No, I mean, you know, because Robert's such a cult. It's really weird, isn't it? He's a charisma-free zone, and yet he's incredible. You know, I mean, I'm not particularly a fan of King Crimson. There's a lot of people that I'm not particularly fans of, but I'm a big admirer, and I'm a big admirer of his work.
Okay, lastly then, if we're ever down Teddington Way, best place to bump into you for a pint, is it still the Mason's Arms?
The Mason's. No, there's nowhere else. It's the best. It's the best pub in the world.
I like you. I really like you. I really, 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 really like you. You plant a flower, I watch you grow it. You are amazing, but you don't know it. You need a story with a happy, happy ending. I want to. I really want to. Truth be told, I really, 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 really want to be the one who you always run to. It's so exciting, I could be writing a motion picture with a happy, happy ending. 'Cause everybody loves a happy ending. It does make the journey less, as we live at the same address. I calculate this to be true, the magic numbers, me and you. I enjoy your company, most of the words you say to me. I ask my friends, they agree, it's tea for two and two for tea. 'Cause everybody loves a happy ending. Yeah, everybody loves a happy ending.
Entertaining John Rhino Edwards from Status Quo. The new album is out now. And now we must move on. Nickelback are preparing a brand new tour in support of the latest album, Get Rollin', released at the back end of last year, which did really well for them. And from it comes a new track. It's called Horizon. And Chad is going to tell you all about that now.
Well, anybody who's ever been in the friend zone knows that it's difficult to get out of that when feelings go beyond. And with a song like Horizon, this is truly just a tune about unrequited love, you know, wanting to take a relationship to the next level, but terrified you could lose the friendship altogether if the other person doesn't feel the same way. Here it is. This is Horizon.
Thank you.
I wish that when you walked in I could hide it. I wish that when we touched there wasn't lightning. You say you wish our hearts had better timing, but something always keeps us from colliding.
Say about them, they are just always so consistent with everything that they do. They're currently out in the US before a date or two in Canada, and then they are off on tour around Europe in May until June 8th, when they return to Canada for some summer dates and, of course, the US. And finally today, Bywater Call, as I mentioned earlier on. Keep an eye out because I'm going to be talking to Megan Parnell on the upcoming show. And if you are new to the band, then this is as good a place as any to start. It's the brand new single and it's called Holler.
Bottom now.
there you go. That is Bywater Call, and it's Holler. And as I said, it's just fantastic. And Megan Parnell will be on the upcoming show at the end of the month. Don't forget, over on the website, you can find more exclusive video content. Go to www.theclassicrockpodcast.com. You can also check out the YouTube channel, which is the Classic Rock Show X over on YouTube, as we said. And if you want to get in touch, then you can join the Facebook group as well. That's the Classic Rock Podcast over on Facebook too, where we drop various things throughout the course of the week too. Thank you again for your company, for listening in, wherever you are listening around the world. And I look forward to your company again next time. For the moment, though, from me, Tim Cable, bye-bye for now.